Well, do any of you have any questions? Questions?
There was a, this was a morning walk conversation, Prabhupada and senior sannyasi decided.
Can you say it loud for me?
Yeah, there was one morning walk conversation, and maybe it's not my guard brothers here, I mean, or anybody's familiar with it, they could help me with it. It took place in Mayapur. Prabhupada was walking, and they were addressing the subject of the spiritual master omniscient. And so Prabhupada was trying to explain, no, the spiritual master is not omniscient. He's all-knowing in the sense that whatever he needs to know to do his service, Krishna provides him with that knowledge. So at one point, I think Satru raised this point. He said that sometimes, you know, your disciples, they ask, what is their relationship with you? You know, what is their personal relationship with you? And Prabhupada said, their relationship, that, you know, they have a temple president, and the temple president is under the GDC, and the GDC is under the meeting. That's their relationship. And he's thinking, no, what is their, like, personal relationship with you? And he was trying to, what he was going for, what they were hoping to hear, was that Prabhupada was going to say that, you know, I'm in the heart of every disciple. But Prabhupada didn't respond like that, at least on that occasion. Maybe you're familiar with that particular work. He made that point, bhakti samsana, you know, early in the conversation, that the perfection of the spiritual master was that he was following the acharyas, not that he was, you know, omniscient or did everything perfectly, but that he was a very sincere, sold-out follower of the acharyas. And then somebody, another devotee, started quoting this verse from Narada Muni. That Vyasadeva was saying to Narada Muni about how you're like the all-pervading super soul. And they were hoping, once again, they were hoping that Prabhupada would pick up on that and say, yes, the spiritual master is like the all-pervading super soul. But he didn't, you know, because the rest of the verse goes on to say how then Narada Muni pointed out the defects, and Prabhupada picked up on that point. Yes, the spiritual master, he picks up the defects. So my question is this, that I tried to touch upon this morning. What I like to think is that when I'm praying to Prabhupada, as Punyatma was kind of, he was sort of indicating this in his talk, then he repeated this several times, the spiritual master who's present when you think about him, the spiritual master who's there when you read his books. But at least on this occasion, Prabhupada wasn't emphasizing that. But then at other times, I've heard Prabhupada say that when you pray to the predecessor acharyas, you get special mercy. So I just wanted further, like, edification on this particular point. Like, when I'm praying to Prabhupada, I mean, Prabhupada, what's happening? What's actually happening? Is the personality Prabhupada directly hearing that? Or is it that the super soul is aware that I'm praying to my spiritual master, and he's pleased by that, and he's reciprocating on behalf of Srila Prabhupada? What's actually going on? I'd like to, if I could feel more, I think it would help me if I could feel more that, yeah, Prabhupada, I'm doing the right thing, and it's a bona fide process, and it's our...
In three words, I'll sum up what Lahiba just said. If you think of me, I am there. What does that mean?
Because it's different statements. You see, I presented one that didn't seem...
What does that mean? What does that mean that we can... If you think of Prabhupada, he's there. What does that mean? Because obviously, you've been a sannyasi for 40 years, and you've done this. I meditate on that one aspect all the time, if you think of me. Because one time I carried Srila Prabhupada into Buri Place, put him down in front of Radhavandan Ishvara, and they opened the curtains, and they played, and Govinda Dasi was there singing for the last darshan. Prabhupada was just gushing tears, just gushing. And I knew he had achieved a darshan with Radha and Krishna in a higher dimension than we had. And so having experienced that, if you think of me, I'm there. I say, oh, Siddhanta Prabhupada, I'm thinking of you, but if I was pure from impersonalism, what would I see? And that's where I get my daily meditation that Prabhupada is this Hare Krishna movement, and he's working through a million devotees distributing this Krishna consciousness, you know? So if you think of me, I am there is the essence of what the question is. What does it mean?
Would anyone else like to add to this? No, seriously, because if I'm going to speak, I'd like to address as many of your concerns as possible at one time.
Well,
after that was such a nice long question, I feel embarrassed to ask it. I read in your book that there was a specific time when Srila Prabhupada heard a kirtan in Bombay Temple, and you were there, and you noticed Srila Prabhupada was very moved by that kirtan. Some devotees who had come from Vrindavan, and I think I remember that you and Srila Prabhupada arranged that there should be a 24-hour kirtan every, I think it was Sunday or Saturday in the temple.
12 hours.
Yeah. And since there's been so much emphasis recently in ISKCON and having, you know, 72-hour kirtan, 108-hour kirtan, all of the temples are doing that now. I was wondering if you could speak to us something about Srila Prabhupada wanting us to have these long, very, very long kirtans that we're having now. In relationship to that and how that affected the temple there and so forth. Sorry to ask.
No, that's all right. Well, coming back to the question of Srila Prabhupada, the background to this question, to my answer to the question is that I had a perception that Srila Prabhupada's deity is Srila Prabhupada, and that he was conscious of all the tribulations in the movement and all the successes in the movement, and he was like feeling it all. And I wrote this to a senior godbrother of mine, and he wrote back that his understanding was that Srila Prabhupada has either gone to Krishna in the spiritual world, or he's somewhere in the material world preaching. But how can you say that he's conscious of what his disciples are doing in the movement? And he was a senior god brother, and I had a very reverential mood toward him. And being sort of submissive by nature or compliant by nature, I wanted to just go along with what he had written, but I couldn't. Something inside of me just would not let me agree. Yeah, he was saying that, yes, we can say that the super soul is conscious of all the individuals, but how can you say the Prabhupada is? So I thought, okay, I have to do some research, because he's my superior. I can't just, you know, place my opinion in opposition to his. I actually have to have some support. And so I looked through Srila Prabhupada's books. There's no computers in those days, no folio. And I found different statements, but the one that for me was the most compelling was in the concluding words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Srila Prabhupada gives the credit for his translation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita to his Guru Maharaj. It was a similar thing, how the Guru is present through his instructions, and we associate with the Guru by following the instructions. But then at the end, he said that that if his divine grace were present, it would have been an occasion of great celebration for him. And then he said that, whatever I've done is by the inspiration of my Guru Maharaj. and Tene Brahma Hridaya, the spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, where the Lord in His Paramatma feature is sitting with all of His devotees and associates. So to me, this was the most clear answer to the question that the Lord is in the heart, but He's not in the heart alone. He's sitting with His associates. That means Srila Prabhupada and the other associates. And just as we can get dictation from the super soul within the heart, we can get dictation from the super soul's associates, and just like we can pray to the super soul or Krishna, we can also pray to His associates, which include Srila Prabhupada. So I have no doubt that he hears our prayers. You know, the same question can be answered in different ways and on different levels. In fact, one of my favorite parts of the lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave in Boston in the first association I had with him was the questions and answers, because people would often ask the same question, but he'd give a very different answer each time depending on the audience. So I believe he's present and conscious. You know, I felt it again very vividly during the Guru Puja Arti. I mean, of course, this could just be my mind, but you know, I mean, I didn't see them, but there's like a lot of ecstatic dancing going on, sort of like different expressions of like ecstasy and enthusiasm and I really felt that Prabhupada was like hearing it all and appreciating it. I mean, you could say, and I've heard people say it, although I don't particularly. But it's inconceivable. It is inconceivable that, you know, the super soul can, assume the guise of the spiritual master, which is certainly true. But I tend to believe, as Srila Prabhupada said on different occasions, that even the jivatma in the liberated state has tremendous potencies that we cannot imagine in the conditioned state. And therefore, there are eternal associates of Krishna who are with Krishna in different places at the same time, in his pastimes. But it's inconceivable. Some things are inconceivable, and Guru Tattva is inconceivable. And sometimes you can't really tell. There's that one. Different cases in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya would manifest himself, and the devotees themselves were not quite sure, you know, whether it was him. Like he would, when Mother Sachi would cook for him after he left home, he would come and eat the offerings. But she wasn't sure if he really was or not. So, and there are other cases like that, because it's so inconceivable, it's even liberated associates of the Lord, they have doubts. I mean, not in not in the sense of any lack of faith, but they have some doubt whether, who's doing what. Who's doing what and what's actually happening. But yes, I think that's true that, the spiritual master is not omniscient like Krishna, but Krishna can provide the spiritual master whatever information he needs under the circumstances. And on one occasion, Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna gives unlimited intelligence to the spiritual master to understand the mind of the disciples. So it's a very dynamic. It's personal. There's Prabhupada, there's Krishna, there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's Nityananda Prabhu, there's the Six Goswamis, there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They're all involved.
In regards to that, when we say Krishna's name, Prabhupada says we are in the presence of Krishna. When we say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you.
When we say Hare Krishna, we are in the presence of Radha and Krishna. When we say all the incarnation saints and sages in Prabhupada's books, are we also in their personal presence? Because that's a question. When we say any of the incarnations' names, they are also manifesting because they're not different from Krishna?
Yeah. Yeah, they're here right now.
So when we say Hare Krishna, I don't see Radha and Krishna yet. And when I think of Prabhupada's quote, if you think of me, I am there. After 50 million times praying Prabhupada, I love to be in your presence. And if it means, if I can master this one statement you made, if you think of me, I am there, in this lifetime, and to be back in your presence would be the objective. But I don't see Radha and Krishna yet, and I don't see Srila Prabhupada. But what's manifesting in my prayers, Prabhupada's global movement, is his presence. Does that sound right or wrong?
It's right. This is also one of the mysteries, feeling the presence and also feeling separation. Because you can feel both. And feelings of separation are impetuses to make spiritual progress. And some of the songs of our acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur's song, are filled with separation. And even Raghunath Das Goswami, he was like so attached to Rupa Goswami, and after Rupa Goswami left, he wrote this verse that, and Raghunath Das Goswami loved Govardhan Hill and Sri Radha Kund, and he said that without Rupa Goswami, Govardhan Hill is like a python. And Radha Kund is like the gaping jaws of the tiger. So, there is that dynamic, and it's not that we do feel his presence, and by following his instructions and giving our lives to his service, but there can also be feelings of separation, and it doesn't indicate a lack of connection, but it's just a variety of spiritual emotion that is also an impetus to our further service. But yeah, Prabhupada is there, Krishna is there. But one thing is how much we are able to realize their presence, and then also how, because we don't want, we do want to be in their presence, but ultimately we want to serve them. So maybe it's the same, sort of the same thing at what you're saying about the movement, but I definitely feel that one of the best ways to serve Srila Prabhupada is to serve his devotees. And not only does it please him, but it increases his service. And when I had those thoughts today, I remembered something that Ram Dass, Prabhu's wife, Ram Dass, who was the head pujari here, Ram Dass Prabhu's motto was, don't worry, as the head pujari, don't worry about taking care of the deities, but just take care of the pujaris, and they will take care of the deities. So if I think, all right, what can I do to serve Srila Prabhupada? Well, yes, he instructed me to write, so I have to write. That's like my personal service. But in a more general sense, how much can I do? But if I, help to take care of his, not take care of his servants, but, encourage his servants, then they can do so much. It can be multiplied so much. So for me, that's, like Das, Das, Anu Das. It's better to be
the fact that you talk
the servant of the servant. Yeah.
The fact that you talk about the separation of these great devotees with Krishna, and I'm going, well, why haven't I seen Radha Krishna and Srila Prabhupada? Because I'm thinking of you, Srila Prabhupada, and I'm thinking of saying Hare Krishna, I don't see, why? Because obviously impersonalism. But even these elevated souls, the way you just elaborated on this whole exchange, they're feeling separation. How can they feel separation? Because they're already in the presence by having perfect association with the name. But they're still, so they haven't said about the highest level of personalism. So that was nice. I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, I mean, feelings of separation can arise when there's purvarag, which is before actual meeting, and that comes just by hearing, or maybe seeing from a distance, but yeah. Feelings of separation implies that there's some attachment, which is good. We feel separation from Srila Prabhupada because we have some attachment for him. Or the six Goswamis, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or...
Is there any gray area? And when the Chaitanya Charitamrita says Lord Chaitanya's mission is to bestow benediction upon all, does that mean that there's nothing? And does that mean that literally what it says, that this universe is in the process of being completely liberated by Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada's movement?
That's their desire.
That's what?
That is their desire.
Was
it Mahatma Prabhu who said he was trying to understand what was Srila Prabhupada's mood before he came to America? So he went through all of Srila Prabhupada's letters, and then he came across one statement that he felt encapsulated Srila Prabhupada's mood, and the statement was that he wanted to see every living entity Krishna conscious.
That's, I'm just going to say, Maharaj, that in his question, why he cannot see Krishna now, I mean, Prabhupada, I was thinking that I'm not qualified to speak, so I was going to ask you to, if you can relate the past time on Narada Muni, when the Lord came, he told him, in this lifetime you're not going to be able to see him.
Yes, very good. Excellent. So Narada Muni performed some meditation, and the Lord manifested himself on the lotus of the heart of Narada Muni. And it's described that Narada Muni was just became fully absorbed in the Lord, and all of his senses were transcendentally enlivened, and he was in full ecstasy. And then the Lord disappeared. And Narada Muni tried to repeat the same process to get the Lord to appear again, but the Lord wouldn't appear again. And then finally he said, "Oh, Narada, I regret that in this lifetime you will not be able to see me again, because your devotional service is not fully matured, apakva. And there's still some material taints. But by this feeling of separation, these feelings of separation, you will like burn up all of your material contamination. And then then in your next life, you'll be able to see me." So that's really how it works. The feelings of separation burn up our material attachments and bring us to the stage where we're more qualified. Which doesn't mean that even a completely pure devotee doesn't feel separation, but feelings of separation are favorable on all levels. On all levels, yeah. And especially because we know that the way to get the association is through following the instructions. So by in the feelings of separation, we can have that determination that by serving the person, I will feel his presence. And then that will further qualify me to, again, be in his presence after leaving this body.
Because there's not enough time, but the whole philosophy of the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava, is based in Vipralamba, and you could speak for like the whole evening, but the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is about that bar. And,
yeah.
And the six Goswamis are included there. I mean, I'm sure you could speak about them. They haven't seen the Yamuna River, the case, asking for that. But you could speak if you want. There's nothing that I said. But
what were you saying about the Yamuna River?
No, I'm saying that when the six Goswamis are hankering for in separation from Krishna, always looking for Krishna, they don't see him. But they cry, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?"
Oh, yeah. Okay, I could say a little about that. I think a good example is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Chatak Parvat in Jagannath Puri, which Srila Prabhupada describes as a sand dune, and he mistook it for Govardhan Hill, and he started like running, and then like the associates were chasing after him, and then like he became stunned, and he went into very extreme bodily transformations of ecstasy, and like really extreme, and all the devotees were like very disturbed, because Yeah, his whole body was being pulled apart, you could say. So they made kirtan to try to get him out of that state. And then there are like three stages of consciousness. There's bahya dasha, which means external, and antardasha, which is internal, and ardha bahya dasha, which is half external and half internal. So when the devotees aroused Lord Chaitanya from his internal state, he came in the ardha bahya dasha, and he was saying, you know, I saw Radha and Krishna enter into a cave, and one of the gopis asked me to pick flowers for them, and I was collecting flowers to offer to them, and just then you all made this tumultuous sound, and now, you know, now I've lost Radha and Krishna and Govardhan Hill, and then he's feeling separation. So this mood of intense separation experienced by liberated souls comes from having some direct perception of the Lord and his associates. And then when that direct perception ends, then they feel intense separation. But generally, devotees don't talk like that. You know, I saw Radha and Krishna, devotees don't talk like that. So, they only say those things in the ardha bahya dasha when they're only half conscious of the external world. But then when Lord Chaitanya became fully conscious of the external world, he felt very ashamed for having said all those things. But devotees don't talk like that. Oh, I saw Radha and Krishna.
Everybody can fill out on this one because I can't remember how it goes. I think one of the sweetest examples of that feeling of separation was the prophet's walking by Lord Bharata. He's talking about how he had this remembrance of Krishna and Vrindavan and how he was running through the pasture grounds with him. And that memory came to him that day and just feeling Krishna's separation so much. That's just mind-boggling when you think about that. Prophet playing with Krishna in the pasture grounds, remembering that. And here he came. There's two stories with Prophet. It's the same story from two different devotees, one is from Bhavananda and one is from Bhagavat. And they indirectly confirm one another. And in those incidents, Prabhupada was talking in a conversation, I think it was, and he said, Krishna asked me to come to the material world. He asked me to come down and write those books. And Prabhupada said he didn't want to go because he didn't want to go to that horrible place. And Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. Krishna said, I'll take care of everything. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to. You just go down and write those books. So that same incident was cited by both Bhavananda and the memories from Sid and also from Bhagavad in his paper called The Leave the Books Alone. And I asked Bhagavad about that afterwards, and he confirmed that Bhavananda was in the room at the same time. So this is actually Prabhupada's words describing how he was sent from Krishna to the spiritual world to write the books that he gave us. So this is a personality we're dealing with, this sort of Prabhupada. He's coming directly from Krishna Loka, sent by Krishna with the mission to save us, the conditioned souls. And imagine, if all the sacrifices that Prabhupada made, I was just talking with Vishwamitra about that today. You know, he came over on the Jaladutta, had no money, never went outside of India before, struggled all of his life to get something going in India. I came to America, had no support, didn't know anybody, struggled for the first year. Had two heart attacks, and with all of the different sacrifices the Prabhupada made for us, I have to, in my humble opinion again, I think the greatest one he made was he left the association of Krishna in the Loka Vrindavan to take birth in the material world just to save us. So, that's our spiritual master.
Bhagavan claims he was in the room at that same time.
Yeah. Yeah, so you get the confirmation from two different devotees, two different perspectives, two different, the same exact incident.
Did you ever ask Bhavananda if he remembered?
No.
He said something similar to a lady in Vrindavan named Gita Devi Shroff, who gave Srila Prabhupada the land for the Krishna Balaram temple. And coincidentally, I mean, it was very confidential and it was quite close to the end when Srila Prabhupada spoke to her. And
the end of Prabhupada's pastime, sir, or the end of that transaction?
The end of Prabhupada's stay with us. And Devi Shakti Mataji wrote about that conversation in a poem that was a Vyasa Puja offering for Srila Prabhupada, which coincidentally I included in my Vyasa Puja offering this year, which I don't usually read my offerings because I'd rather just speak. But I think because it's so much to the topic. Do you have that book? I'll just read the poem that Devi Shakti.
Do you know where it is? Or do you want me to look?
Well, I think it's in alphabetical order. Yeah, all right.
I wish I would have brought my phone. I just wrote a song for Prabhupada called Universal Hero. And Javi Das, our god brother.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to record it for me.
Oh, nice.
And it's just all celebrating who Prabhupada is. We're just so blessed. So blessed to be able to associate with this person, have been blessed by this personality.
But one thing I mentioned in the offering is that Prabhupada left Vrindavan twice. He left Goloka Vrindavan to come into the material world, but even when he was in the material world, he was in Boma Vrindavan. And he left Boma Vrindavan to deliver us. And
so this poem of Mother Bhadi Shakti is referring to Prabhupada's leaving Goloka Vrindavan and how he shared that with this particular woman who gave him a land that was involved in something.
If you wait 1 minute, you will get the answer. So I'll just read a few sentences of mine. You relished Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. This is referring to Vrindavan on earth. You left Vrindavan to preach to fulfill the orders of your superior authorities. Because although he'd left Goloka Vrindavan and come to Boma Vrindavan, he also didn't want to leave Boma Vrindavan. There's another story that Rupa Goswami came to him and said, you know, you just write these books and I'll take care. So, yes, at the Radha-Damodar temple, where Prabhupada would see Rupa Goswami's samadhi from his window. Okay. You relished Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. You left Vrindavan to preach, to fulfill the orders of your superior authorities. While outside Vrindavan, you always remembered Vrindavan, hankered for Vrindavan, and in the end, you returned to Vrindavan. Dash back to your home, back to Godhead. So he returned to both Vrindavans. then in her offering to you on your disappearance day in 2003, your disciple Divishakti Devi Dasi described your special relationship with Gita Devi Saraf, who donated the land for your Vrindavan temple. One evening, Gita Devi confided in her, in Divishakti Mataji. She said, "You know, Srila Prabhupada was just like my own father. He cared for me, and that was why I gave to him and no other. He told me a secret once when we were all alone. I'll tell you what he said to me. It's something you should know. I came to see him one evening. He was sitting in his garden. Devotees sat by his feet, secretary and servants all around. As I came close, he smiled at me and told them all to go. I sat nearby his lotus feet, and this is what he told. Quote, Krishna sent me here to preach. He sent me from above. With English, Bengali, and Hindi, I could preach all over the world. I've almost finished my task, and soon I'll return to him." And that's the end of what he told her. And then the poem continues. He told her this in 1976. Soon our lives went dim. I was amazed at what Srila Prabhupada had revealed to her alone. She knew he came from Krishna and would soon be going home. Such wisdom was not wasted on an ordinary jiva. This blessing was hers from Prabhupada. Confidentiality. As we drove, she took my hand and made a simple wish. She asked me in sincerity, "Please teach me to speak English." "But Gita Devi, you're so old. Your precious time will be wasted." "No," she said, "I also want to preach as Prabhupada did." I looked at her in amazement. She really wanted to preach. She had been transformed by Srila Prabhupada's grace. By associating with fire, one becomes like fire. I saw her desire to preach like Prabhupada in an old woman bereft of all. The inspiration she received from a moment of Prabhupada's love reminds us how compassionate he was to come here from above. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. So yeah, we don't know who Prabhupada was. We don't know who he is.
Yeah.
We don't know who we're dealing with.
Because if Lord Chaitanya's mission to bestow meditation upon all, Prabhupada's movement has become so powerful in this world, and it's doing what it's doing. 5 million plates of prasadam every day, so many books, so many kirtans, just unlimited. It's not stopping, you know. So upon all means upon all, and it's happening through Prabhupada's movement, you know.
Yeah. But we could do much more.
Jamuna Dasi, from Guru Dasi's Jamuna Dasi, she would always say,
I joined in Buri place, and she would always say, if you live it, you can give it. Because I was a book distributor. If you live and you just celebrate the little blue guy with the flute and the peacock feather is part of your life now, and you're enjoying a relationship with that personality, if you live it, you can give it. And that's always stuck in my mind all these years, you know. If you enjoy it, actually having a friend like Krishna, you know, then you can go out and share that reality. That was back in 74, 75 when she said that. But she always used to say that, you know. That was her tagline. If you live it, you can give it.
Maharaj is in this. He mentions the word kirtans are going everywhere, and she asked the question.
Oh, yeah.
Can you, because he was mentioning kirtans everywhere. It's about chanting the whole thing. Can you answer the question?
Well, Srila Prabhupada had a standard program, a standard preaching program, which would begin with kirtan, then have a talk, and then end with kirtan. And that should be the standard format. Of course, Lord Chaitanya would have kirtan for 3 hours in the evening in Jagannath Puri, and Srila Prabhupada said we should do that, have kirtan every evening for 3 hours. But there should also be discussion. And, I mean, on occasion you can give more emphasis to kirtan and less to discussion, and sometimes the other way, you know, more emphasis to discussion, like some seminar on scripture or some relevant topic, and maybe less to kirtan. But there should be both. And one of my favorite quotations is from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says that Harikatha is like the Swarup Shakti of Harikirtan. And just as wherever there is Krishna, his Swarup Shakti, or Radharani, is there, so similarly, wherever there is Harinam, there should also be Harikatha. So I think that, as we've heard from different devotees today, Srila Prabhupada was a spiritual revolutionary, and, you know, revolution means turning things around, and that can disturb people's attachments or comforts. So I really do believe that there should be Harikatha along with the Harikirtan. And there's a danger that, but in the long run, kirtan will do everything. It's the holy name, it's Krishna. But let's say there's a concern that the kirtan will be something that some devotees like to do, but you know, hearing the philosophy might sort of disturb their status quo. So we don't want devotees who just like do kirtan and then go back to life as usual and go to the club and turn on the whatever. So that's the thing. I do feel that it's very important that there should be both.
I have an observation in that, Maharaj, that this movement is designed so perfectly for every jiva to have the possibility to get to some particular anga or limb. And the holy name definitely fulfills that for everyone, a child, an adult, an incapable of physically, older. And I've been watching, for example, our generation and new generation right now, they're not attracted to be here.
But you tell them about kirtan, they can chant the whole day and evening. And I was watching also, like in our, you know, we're celebrating Prabhupada's noontime, all the older devotees, senior devotees, and I was looking, where is our youth? And then I walk outside and I saw all these teenagers there, they had their own sangha, they're chanting too. Because I was thinking, we're not doing really good, it's like, what's going to happen when all this generation goes, where is our youth for the future? And I was worried, so I went outside and I looked at the kids. And then I thought, wow, this is really good. So to have this kirtan, we might be attracted to the philosophy, but some of them might not. But it's perfectly that the Holy Name is fulfilling that part.
Just in response to that, I was talking with one of the devotees who grew up in Vrindavan. And she was telling me how this was at the program at Nick Nolte's house a few weeks ago. And Rajan Swami was there and he was speaking. And a lot of the younger devotees, specifically from Vrindavan, came to Europe. And she was telling me when they were kids, they would sit for hours listening to the stories that he told in Krishna conscious philosophy. So I don't think we should necessarily, you know, underestimate them in that regard, because they grew up with that, and they know a lot of philosophy. And it's not that they don't want to listen to it or anything, but they probably just prefer the kirtan. Pretty well oriented towards, you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So.
Mother Yamuna was very concerned about the youth, and of course she was very deep in kirtan, but she was also concerned that they take up the whole process, you know, offering their food, you know, only taking prasad, and reading the books, being able to present the philosophy. So, I agree with what Parthakananda Prabhu said. I think you were saying the same thing, that you were actually encouraged to see that they were doing kirtan, right, and that the future hope was doing what they had taste for in Krishna consciousness. So, I think there is great hope. But I do feel that it's a whole package. And yes, it's very individual, and where someone has taste, that he should go there. You know, it's all absolute. He should go where he has taste. But it is a whole package. And the other instructions that Prabhupada gave us, like offering our food before we eat, even studying his books, and preaching, is part of the package. So within that, kirtan might be occupy a larger place, but I think we don't want to be like that, like what Prabhupada said, the half hand, like you take what you like and reject what you don't like. No.
Oh, I'm just wondering if not the kirtan in the temple, always in the temple, in the temple, in the temple, in the temple. And sometimes I'm just wondering, is the Prabhupada wanted that, like, so much kirtan in the temple, but it seems to me that when Prabhupada started, it kind of was more outside.
Yeah, we would do Harinam for hours and on the street. Oh, it's wonderful they're doing kirtan in the temple. But I always like to quote what His Holiness Indradumya Swami said, that chanting by yourself is perfect. Chanting with other devotees is more perfect. But chanting with other devotees in public is most perfect. So, I mean... yesterday evening, Ganesh Prabhu approached me and said it's art walk day and he wanted to take out a Harinam party, but he was thinking whether it's the right thing to do because it's Janmashtami and maybe devotees will think he's taking away from the temple program. But I thought that was the best way to celebrate Janmashtami.
Yeah,